Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it's Daddy Soda time, week five. Can you believe that? College football week five already, and it is a dandy. Clemson, Louisville on Saturday night. Michigan, Wisconsin, Saturday afternoon. We've got some big boy football being played this Saturday. First, though, we want to talk to you about the players that stood out one way or the other from week four action, especially guys that we highlighted going into those games. When I say we, of course, I'm mainly talking about that other guy over there, Fran Duffy, who I think is as good as any college scouting talent evaluator out there. Works for the Philadelphia Eagles and thankfully does this podcast as well, the College Draft Podcast, each and every week, year round. You can check him out on Twitter at FDuffy3. He's got that Saturday scouting piece, which is awesome. His tweets with the screenshots of the game film for the Eagles is something really interesting where you can learn a lot more about how guys play and in particular the Eagles if you're into that. And Fran, before we even get – oh, by the way, my name is Ross Tucker. I played in the NFL for a while. I should probably mention that. At Ross Tucker NFL. I think most of you probably already knew that, but I'm hoping, guessing, maybe some of you came for the Fran and you get a little Ross with that. Fran, there was actually some news – yesterday from the NFL as it relates to evaluating underclassmen, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, you know, I first saw it. I didn't hear anything about this coming down the pipe. And then I saw Ian Rappaport from NFL Network start tweeting out screen grabs from the press release. And it was really interesting because, you know what, I think, honestly, Ross, it's a win-win for both sides. And when I say both sides, I mean it's a win-win for the league. It's a win-win for college football, and honestly, it's a win for the prospects as well, because basically what this does is, and it's not going to affect this draft, the upcoming 2017 NFL draft as much, but it will affect classes down the line, and what it does is throughout the entire scouting process, not during the draft, you know, the pre-draft process, but during the off-season, the early off-season, so you're talking from the months of February up until the season ends, some key underclassmen. So basically every college football team at the FBS level is going to be allowed to label up to five, and they could put a special petition in for more, but typically up to five players, underclassmen on their roster for special evaluation from the NFL. And what that will do is allow those players to then be scouted like seniors throughout the offseason and then their final season there. So they can get proper feedback from teams throughout the entire process. So you think back, think of all these underclassmen that have declared for the draft in the last couple of years that didn't properly have, you know, good, you know, we can think back to the Clemson safeties last year. You can think back to really, like, you know, there's tons of players, obviously. You can go on and on and on. But Brett Smith, the kid from Iowa, the junior who declared for the draft because, the internet was abuzz over his highlights and that he was going to be, a mid-round pick and, he's going to be a player to watch. He goes undrafted. He goes to three camps in a couple months, doesn't stick in the NFL. Now he's out and he doesn't get his degree. You know, so now what it's going to do is it's going to allow players to be scouted throughout their season, their final season there, and be treated like seniors. So what does that mean? In the offseason, seniors get a pro timing day. So just like how the pro prospects get a pro day before the NFL draft, the seniors going into their final season, they will have a pro timing day back in the spring, and that's to get scouts and get teams just initial ideas of what their numbers may be. And obviously these players haven't trained, but just a baseline of what their numbers might be, in the 40-yard dash, what their hand size and their height and their weight, all that stuff. Well, now some select juniors, some select underclassmen that would be eligible for the draft will also be able to be put in that pool. They'll be able to be talked to by scouts throughout the fall. So whereas they would typically be off limits, now they can go through some of the parts of the evaluation process and hopefully get proper feedback over whether or not they should stay in school or whether or not their talent warrants declaring for the draft. So like I said earlier, I think it's a win-win-win. It's a great situation. I'm really happy that the league and the AFCA at the college level were able to come to this agreement and put this into practice. So I just hope that college coaches really take advantage of it and put their prospects in a position to move on.
So two things, right? Number one, I just want to be clear here. It might not be the guy's last season of college football.
Correct.
It's going to be his last season, the NFL will have a lot more information, and he'll have a lot more information, hopefully, to decide whether or not it should be his last season of college football. The only fly in the ointment I saw, Fran, the only part of it I thought was interesting is I didn't see the thing about the teams applying for special exemptions, because I'm sitting there thinking, that's going to be interesting, you know, whether it's Ohio State or Alabama or some of these teams, and the college program has to pick the five guys that are deserving or worthy of special evaluation. I mean, you might have a guy that's going to play two more years of football for you or is supposed to that, you know, not real happy that you think five other guys are better than he is, you know, in that class. So I guess that's where, because I had seen the thing where they could pick five guys. I hadn't seen that they could apply for a special exemption, because that's the only thing I thought would be like, what if you're like the sixth guy at Ohio State, but you're still like a first, second round caliber guy, you know?
Yeah, and exactly. So that's why I think they kind of left the door open to letting teams apply for more. The big thing that I hope for, Ross, is that you've seen in the past, and I you know this, there are some coaches that are great with NFL teams and bringing in scouts and working with executives throughout the season and giving them exposure, giving them access. There are other teams, though, other coaches that are historically not open to NFL scouts throughout the season. You know, Greg Schiano, when he was at Rutgers, was one of those guys that did not give NFL teams good access. Joe Paterno at Penn State did not give NFL teams great access throughout the fall. So you hope for that. This is another stage where you just hope that there's cooperation on both ends, and there's just got to be trust on both sides. You hope that that's going to be the case. And that's honestly the only thing that I would worry about. But for the most part, I really do think that this is a positive for everybody involved. The safety I was thinking about earlier, and I couldn't remember his name, was Jayron Kearse. You know, last year at this time, everybody, except if you were listening to this podcast, everybody had Jayron Kearse as a first-round pick. He was a junior from Clemson. They were number one, you know, going to be number one in the country. And everybody was talking about that defense and all the players. He said, Jayron Kearse is going to be a first-round pick, first safety off the board. Look at his size. He goes in the seventh round. He doesn't make the team in Carolina. You know, so you hope that those kinds of situations, that a guy like Jayron Kearse and other players, and you hope that Jayron Kearse obviously rebounds and has a great NFL career, nothing against him specifically, but you hope that players like that in the future can get proper information from the evaluators at the NFL level and hopefully can make better decisions moving forward.
Let's get to some of the guys that stood out last week. That Tennessee-Florida game was one that we featured, Fran. Who stood out positively or negatively for you in that one?
Well, the number one player, and I thought Bruce Feldman from Fox Sports, he wrote a really cool piece afterwards that really kind of highlighted how dominant he was. But Derek Barnett, the defensive end from Tennessee, was all over the field, man. He was so disruptive, and he was one of the big reasons why Florida struggled to move the ball. Seven of their eight final series in that game were three and out. You know, you think about that, just complete dominance by the Tennessee defense and just futility from the Florida offense. But Barnett, two sacks, three pressures on the quarterback, and a pass breakup, all just in the second half alone. A guy that I've said is really, really well-rounded. I don't know that he's the high upside edge rusher like Arden Key, obviously the Miles Garrett, Carl Lawson, some of these other guys, Charles Harris I really love from Mizzou. He may not have the athletic upside of those guys, but he knows how to play, man. Really versatile, really well-rounded, knows how to use his hands, really smart pass rusher. I like Derek Barnett, and this would be one of his games you're going to point to and say, wow, you know, this guy deserves to be a pretty high draft pick. So it was really good to see Derek Barnett stand out in this game. I know some of the players on offense for Tennessee were able to make some plays as well. Josh Malone, the wide receiver on the outside for Tennessee, he was able to make some plays. So, I think that overall, Barnett, though. He was the guy that stood out to me most from the Volunteers in that game.
You mentioned the edge rushers, and obviously Texas A&M has a pair of them that really dominated that game against Arkansas Saturday night.
Yeah, I was watching this game really closely, and to me, both guys were awesome in the game. Garrett ended up with three tackles, Miles Garrett. Deshaun Hall, the senior on the other side, he ended up with four tackles, and then he had that key sack fumble as well. It was a big play for the Aggies. I love both these guys. You know, both players are, you know, right in that 6'5", 250, 260-pound range, are just kind of freaks of nature coming out. That's how you draw it up if you want a defensive end coming off the edge. I think both guys are first-round talents. I really like Deshaun Hall, a good bunch. So, and Miles Garrett, you got to see him at the point of attack in the run game. I mean, both guys, I thought, really stood out in the game, and it was a matchup that we highlighted last week.
Anybody else, what other matchups stood out to you? Obviously, the Baylor receiver had a big game. Dalvin Cook finally had a big game, which I think, you know, there were starting to be some doubts and some whispers about him. You almost feel like he needed that.
Yeah, it had been three games, and Cook hadn't eclipsed 100 yards yet, and then he goes off for 267 and two touchdowns. Those two touchdowns he scored really early. Both, I think, they put them over 100 yards just on his own. I think the first one went for 86. So, you know, Cook obviously back to his explosive ways this past week against South Florida. He did the same thing against the Bulls last year, had a number of big plays. So wasn't really surprising for me to see. Now you just hope that he can do it against some of the top-shelf defenses that they do have left on the schedule. But Cook's super dynamic. You know, we've talked about him in the past, the Chris Johnson comparison, a guy that has the ability to get to the perimeter. They use him really well in their misdirection run game, a lot of gap stuff for them. And they just they declare, this is the gap we want you to run through. Hit this hole. You know, if it's not there, here's your B plan. But really, Dalvin Cook, one of the more explosive talents in any position in the country. And then Ish Zamora, you know, made his debut. He was suspended for the first 3 weeks of the year after the incident with him and his dog that was captured on social media, which is obviously unfortunate. And, you know, hopefully he's learned from that. But Ishmael Zamora, we talked about him in the Big 12 podcast, Ross. 6'4", 220 pounds. He was only a redshirt freshman last year, so he's draft eligible this year as a redshirt sophomore. Kind of a freak of nature, man. I mean, size and speed, the ability to go and get the ball, you know, the yards after catch option. There's a guy that is really, really explosive. He showed that this past week. 8 catches, 175 yards, 2 touchdowns. Katie Cannon, who's the junior in that game, for that team, he actually left the game with the injury, and Ish Zamora really kind of took over. He's a really, really intriguing prospect. And with all the coaching turnover there, I wouldn't rule anything out with any of those underclassmen in the receiving corps for Baylor. You could see both guys declare for this draft. And Zamora, he's going to be one of the high upside players. If he were to declare, will be a guy that everyone sees as a really high upside player in this class.
Speaking of high upside, boy, it's nice to get a better return on the money you invest, isn't it? I mean, these money markets, used to be you get a decent return just on your cash. Not really anymore. That's why you guys should strongly consider commercial real estate. It's a REIT, richuncles.com. This is where a lot of the really wealthy people work. Look, if you're not familiar with a REIT, it's a real estate investment trust. A lot of times, though, they're tied into the stock market. This is not. This is a private real estate investment trust that invests in companies like Chase Bank and Walgreens. Check out Rich Uncle's REIT, a Reg A Tier 2 offering for yourself. Go to richuncles.com. That's richuncles.com or call 855-RICH-UNCLES.
Rich Uncle's REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent, response will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $2,000 by Rich Uncle's for this single message.
Head to head.
Let's start with the big one. I mean, there's two awesome games. There's no doubt about it, Fran, but let's start with a huge one. In the ACC, Clemson and Louisville, a.k.a. Louisville, Saturday night.
Yeah, and obviously the player that everybody's going to be excited to see Saturday night, it's prime time. You got to see him this past week against Marshall. And they got off to a slow start. Everyone on Twitter was like, we're almost halfway through the first quarter. Lamar Jackson hasn't scored a touchdown yet. What's going on? And then he goes off, and I think he ended up with four or five touchdowns in the game. But, you know, at 6'3", 205 pounds, and I'll be interested to see what his official height weight is when he does declare for the draft. He's only a true sophomore, so not eligible for this upcoming draft, but certainly one of the most dynamic players in college football, especially at the quarterback position, will almost certainly be a Heisman finalist. And accounted for 25 total touchdowns in the first 4 weeks of the season. So a player that can beat you with his arm and can beat you with his legs. He's gotten praise from guys like Mike Vick on Twitter saying that he's five times the player that he was when he was at Virginia Tech. So Jackson is going to be the most exciting player on the field. And just seeing how this Clemson defense, who has lost a lot of horses, man, over the last couple of years, they've seen a lot of players leave that program from the senior ranks and from the underclassmen ranks. They've still got some talent, though, and the player that I'm most excited to see is the cornerback, Cordrea Tankersley, who's got good size. He's 6 foot, 194 pounds, good athlete, great ball skills. I can actually remember the game last year, Ross, where Tankersley really stood out to me was against Louisville, and he had two interceptions in that game, if I remember. I know one for sure down on the sideline, a tiptoe grab where he spun in the air and made a back shoulder catch. It was a ridiculous interception for a corner, and that was the game that put Tankersley on the map for me. So hopefully he can come back and have a repeat performance against Lamar Jackson. I don't think Lamar Jackson was the quarterback in that game. So, you know, Cordrea Tankersley, who doesn't have a pick yet this year, you want to see him kind of take the next step. There have been some injuries and some inconsistency in this cornerback group so far through the season. Can Tankersley have a big game on a national stage and kind of put himself towards the top of that group? That'll be really interesting to watch. Tankersley is a really intriguing prospect based off what I saw last year. And, you know, you flip it to the other side. You know, when Clemson's got the ball, obviously everyone wants to know about this Clemson offense. You got Deshaun Watson and Wayne Gallman and Jordan Leggett and Mike Williams. Watson, you know, I studied him, Ross, in week one against Auburn. I thought he was up and down. Yeah, the big thing that I liked about him last year, I thought he was pretty accurate with the football. You know, not pinpoint, but overall, I thought his ball placement was pretty good. So it was a little erratic versus Auburn. I didn't think he saw things pretty clearly. And the one concern I had about Watson was in the two playoff games last year, and certain times I thought his poise was a little bit questionable. And that was something that I thought showed up a little bit against Auburn. So, and obviously it's an SEC defense. You got guys like Carl Lawson and Montrevious Adams in that defensive front seven for Auburn. So they had some players getting after him. And I thought that there were some times where he didn't handle himself perfect in the pocket. So that'll be something that's really interesting to watch against a Louisville defensive front that, you know, they've got some players there, man. They've got the pass rushers off the end, off the edge. Devontae Fields is a player we've talked about as a TCU transfer.
How many years has that guy been playing college football? Like 7 years at this point? I feel like that guy has been playing college football since I was nine. I mean, well, what is going on?
I think this is the last year that he's eligible, but a guy that can certainly get off the edge. They've got other guys in that defensive front that are going to be really, really interesting to watch and see how Watson responds on this stage. I like Watson's talent. I still am in the camp, and I still have to do a lot more work on both guys. Obviously, a lot more football to be played. I still like Deshaun Watson more than Deshaun Kizer, but it's still going to be a very big test for Deshaun Watson on Saturday night against this defense. You look at the rest of the offense, there's a ton of matchups here, Ross. I mean, we talked about Gallman. We've talked about him a lot in the past. He's got three touchdowns so far in the year, 6'1", 215 pounds. Physical kid, can break tackles. D'Angelo Brown, a nose tackle for Louisville, is a run stuffer inside. He looks more like a rotational player at the next year or at the next level. But I like him, man. I mean, he's got a good anchor. He's stout at the point of attack. I don't know how much value he brings you on third down as a pass rusher, but Brown inside going up against Gallman will be really, really interesting. I'm excited to see how they hold up against the Clemson run game on the perimeter. Ross, you know I love Mike Williams, and I was really excited to see him this year coming off that neck injury from a year ago, and I actually just studied his game against Auburn from week one this past weekend. He had a huge game in that game, man. 9 catches, 174 yards against Carlton Davis and the rest of that Auburn secondary. Looked just as explosive. I mean, big kid. You're talking about a player who's 6'3", 225 pounds. He's got the ability to get over the top of corners. He's a great yards after catch weapon. Really, really impressive player. Still needs a little bit of work as a route runner. Sometimes he looks great. Other times he looks like a little bit hesitant at the top of his stem, and that's something I want to see. I want to see him get a little bit better against press, something that he's done at a high level at certain points, but then other times he can get disrupted and brushed off the route. So Mike Williams, a really intriguing talent as well in this game, going up against a Louisville secondary, three corners are 5'11 or less. You know, so he's got a huge size advantage against this Louisville secondary. Could be a big week for Mike Williams. Jordan Leggett, a tight end. I mean, there's so many prospects in this game going up against Josh Harvey Clemens, the safety from Louisville, who I think Leggett's got the matchup advantage in this, because Leggett's a guy that he's 6'5", 257 pounds, got great size, wasn't really a part of the offense, only had one catch entering this past week against Georgia Tech. He goes off, he has four catches for 31 yards and a score. So hopefully they can see, all right, let's get Leggett rolling again. I think they got an opportunity to do so against Josh Harvey Clemens, who's not a great athlete, doesn't have great range. I'm not sure how good his ball skills are against us. You know, even though he's got great size to match up with Leggett at 6'4", 225, I like that matchup in space. So that'll be really, really interesting. I think Clemson's got the advantage on the outside with their skill players against this defense. I'll be really interested to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I watched a lot of that Clemson-Auburn game, and it was crazy, Fran. It was like they were just going to throw the ball to Mike Williams every play, no matter what, no matter who was covering him, no matter where he was, and he looked like an absolute man against boys. Really looking forward to watching both these quarterbacks in a primetime marquee game against each other with a lot on the line. Should be a big-time game on Saturday night. And thankfully, we got another game, Fran, right before it, which will be awesome as well. Michigan, I watched quite a bit of their game against Penn State on Saturday. They have some dudes. I mean, that was a massacre. Michigan's guys up front, both sides of the ball, really impressive. Jordan Lewis came back from injury, looked good. Jabril Peppers is just a rare athlete and human being out there. They did suffer an injury where Clark, it looks like he's out for the year. So that's a tough one, Fran. And they're going up against a Wisconsin team that all they've done so far this year is beat LSU at a neutral site and then absolutely house Michigan State at East Lansing on Saturday. So they've got to have some guys, Fran. Tell me about them.
Yeah, you know, the prospect that I'm most excited about from a Wisconsin standpoint is running back Corey Clement, who, you know, we talked about in the offseason. He's got a good burst. He's an athletic running back. He's run for five touchdowns so far this year on 251 yards, 5'10", 221 pounds. Not the biggest kid in the world. I've questioned his, you know, I think his vision's okay. I don't think he's got great vision in terms of being an NFL starter. But as a college back, he's got the ability to get to the perimeter. So the matchup here against Jabril Peppers, who you mentioned, I mean, is such a freak of nature. And the big question I had about Peppers going into this year, making the transition to linebacker full-time, is how is he going to play closer to the line of scrimmage? You know, dealing with traffic, everything's moving faster down there, closer to the line. And I'll tell you what, I mean, I haven't studied it, but from what I've seen, you know, just seeing from the games that I have turned on, you know, he seems to be adapting pretty well. So it's definitely a matchup that I'm really excited to see. And then when you flip the script and go to the other side, Ross, you know, I really like as well, you know, actually from a trenches standpoint, Ryan Ramczyk, who's the right tackle for Wisconsin, is getting a ton of love right now. He's got the size, he's got the ability to move people, and really is holding up very well in pass protection, and that's where he's really standing out. He's going to be matched up at times with Taco Charlton, the defensive end from Michigan, who from the stat sheet just blew up Penn State last week. You watched that game, he had 1.5 sacks. You could tell me how you saw what you thought of him when you watched the game. But at 6'5", 277, I watched Charlton last year. I thought he was really well-rounded, good run defender, good pass rusher. I didn't know if he had a quality first step in terms of an NFL pass rusher, but I thought that he knew how to get after the quarterback. He's got great size. He looked like an NFL starter to me. So there's a ton of talent on that Michigan team. We've talked about, you know, the receivers, Jehu Chesson and Darbo. You've got the running back, Devion Smith. You know, you've got players in the O-line. You've got players on the defensive line as well, Chris Wormley. We talked about Charlton. You know, there's Peppers. You're talking about Jordan Lewis. ton of players on this Michigan roster to be excited about. As we, you know, Jake Butt, the tight end, I didn't even mention, ton of talent on this roster. So should be a really, really exciting game Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I am looking forward to that one to be sure. What other matchups will you be looking at around the country in a couple other scattered games that aren't as marquee as the other two?
So a few of them. You've got Georgia versus Tennessee, which is obviously, look, it's always going to be a big game when those teams match up. Tennessee, I think people are expecting to win this game. But the matchup that I want to see is Nick Chubb, who hurt his ankle, left the game. It's kind of up in the air, and people are, you know, from people I've talked to, it seems like he may not play this Saturday against Tennessee, and we'll see how it plays out. But 5'10", 220 pounds, one of the best backs in the country when healthy. If he doesn't go, Sony Michel from Georgia, 5'11", 212 pounds, you're going to get to see him. He's a little bit quicker, a little shiftier, more versatile than Chubb, not the type of inside runner. Either way, the Georgia backfield matched up against Tennessee linebacker Jalen Reeves-Maben, 6 foot, 230 pounds. I like Maben, man. I mean, he's got the ability to play sideline to sideline. He's physical. He's athletic. He can play in coverage. I've seen him make some really impressive plays down the field. So that could be an interesting matchup with Michelle. That's a matchup that I'm really excited to see. You know, you look at Florida State and North Carolina. North Carolina, Ross, they've got three senior receivers that I think are prospects. And there's two in particular that I like. You know, you've got Ryan Switzer, who's the slot guy, okay? 5'9", 185 pounds, one of the best punt returners in college football, has great quickness, the ability to make people miss, good yards after catch guy, not the biggest, needs a little bit of work in getting off press coverage, has been probably their leading receiver. Yeah, he's been their leading receiver, 33 catches, 429 yards so far this year. That's who's beating them from the slot. Then you've got Mac Hollins and Bug Howard on the outside. Both guys are 6'3". They're over 210 pounds. Hollins is their deep threat. He's averaging 23 yards a catch. He's got the ability to get downfield. He's got good ball skills. Also notable, four-year special teams captain for North Carolina. So to me, I feel really good about Mac Hollins' ability to at least stick in the NFL because he's got that special teams background. Even if he's not, and I've had questions watching him whether or not he's generally athletic enough to be a starting NFL wide receiver. But if he's not athletic enough to be that guy on the outside as a starter, I feel good about his chances to stick as a number four or number five receiver for a roster because of that special teams background. And then Bug Howard, if you watched North Carolina last week, he caught the winning touchdown against Pitt down in the corner in the red zone. Big kid who's got the ability to go up and fight for the football. So you've got three North Carolina receivers against this Florida State secondary. Marquez White is a player we've talked about a couple times now on the podcast. 6 foot, 175 pounds. I like his ability in off coverage, good quickness, has good ball skills, a feisty kid, can come up and defend the run as well. I like Marquez White. This is a really interesting matchup for him, regardless of who he's matched up against in this game. They've got three quality weapons in the receiving core for the Tar Heels.
What about Stanford against UW? I watched a bunch of that Stanford-UCLA game on Saturday night from my hotel room in Green Bay. Still can't believe UCLA blew that one. Man, they had a heck of a chance to win that one. But Stanford, and really their first-year starter at quarterback, fifth-year senior Ryan Burns, found a way to come through.
Yeah, he was able to make some throws for them late in the game. Obviously, late on that late drive, it was huge for them. But, you know, and Washington, they're getting a lot of love right now, too, and for good reason. You know, they've got some players on both sides of the football. And this in the secondary, they've got the kid, the corner on the outside, Sidney Jones, who's getting a lot of love on Twitter. They've got another corner that really intrigues me well. When you're talking about Stanford, you talk about Christian McCaffrey, obviously one of the most explosive, one of the most versatile players in college football. And he's used all over the place. I actually remember I was watching College Game Day, and they've showed a package about how he's used on the outside as a receiver, which is something I saw on tape last year. He's got the ability to line up anywhere and run wide receiver routes. Well, Kevin King, who's 6'3 and a half, 186 pounds for Washington, he's played some safety. He's played outside a corner. They manned him up on Juju Smith-Schuster last year as well at times for USC. So he's versatile, plays a lot in the slot, and is a really good run defender. So Kevin King, how many times he's matched up against Christian McCaffrey, he could end up being kind of the Swiss Army knife for this Washington defense to try and keep McCaffrey under wraps, especially in the passing game. McCaffrey can line up in the slot where King is, and King is a great run defender. Ross, you may remember when we talked about the King in the Pac-12 podcast, I talked about how he would be the ideal cover, the Tampa 2 corner with Tony Dungy. That's Kevin King. He's got the ability to defend the run. He's got the quickness to hold up in man coverage. That'll be an interesting matchup, a little game within the game inside that matchup is Kevin King and Christian McCaffrey.
Any other games, Fran? Anybody else?
Yeah, let's go. The one last one, ACC, NC State, Wake Forest. NC State's got a running back, a senior, Matt Days, 5'8", 202 pounds, a little bit undersized, good quickness, has a good feel for the zone run game. Can he make defenders miss? He's going to have the ability to show that against a Wake Forest defense that's playing pretty well, man. I mean, and they've had some good wins so far this year, Wake Forest, and they've got a safety, Ryan Janvian, 5'11", 190 pounds. He's got 18 tackles on the year with a pick. I don't know that Janvian's an NFL starter, but I feel good. Like I said about the receiver, Mac Hollins from North Carolina, I feel pretty good about Ryan Janvian's ability to stick in the NFL. He's got a special teams background. He's got that. He's got instincts. He's got the intangibles. I like his ability to come down and play the run as well. Seems to me like a backup special teamer type player in the NFL. I like Ryan Janvian against Matt Days in this matchup.
Love it. Well, I like your breakdown of all the games. Really looking forward. I'm doing a game Friday night. It'll be Dartmouth and Penn. So, Fran, if you get a chance to watch some college football Friday night on NBCSN, Dartmouth has an edge rusher, pass rusher, Folarin Orimolade, who's probably the best defensive player in the Ivy League. He had two sacks, a bunch of tackles for loss last week. He's a prospect. And then probably the best prospect in the league and the best player in the league is only a junior. His name is Justin Watson. He's from Pittsburgh. He plays for Penn. Probably should have been the Ivy League Offensive Player of the Year last year. He's 6'3", 215, and really just a special, special receiver. He will get drafted, barring injury, the next 2 years. He's that good. So looking forward to that matchup Friday night. And then Saturday I'll be in my hotel room in Atlanta watching Michigan, Wisconsin, Clemson, Louisville, and reading Fran's Saturday Scouting at PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chug, 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 chug.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
Okay, do you need a daily sports fix really fast?
Yes, sir!
Well, good news, because Podcast One's got two primo sources for you. First, download the best of the best from today's Dan Patrick Show. Plus, there's bonus content and never-before-heard behind-the-scenes exclusives with Dan, his guests, and the Danettes.
It's called the DP Daily Download.
How about those bizarre stories, though?
And second, it's Rich Eisen Real Fast on Eisen Extra. The best of that day's show, plus fresh bonus content featuring late-breaking NFL news, sports news, plus the usual offbeat mix of humor and pop culture.
It's all hunky-dory right now.
Download both shows now on the Podcast One app or subscribe at podcastone.com.